Today's shir is Masechta Bava Metzia Daf Pei Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis, the last line. Ask the Gemara, Mishnah L'gabei Avram, why by Avram Avinu, when the Malachim come to visit him, and he tells them, as the Gemara will quote soon, Echopas Lechem, Sadu Lipchem, take some bread. They respond to him, Kein Tasa Keshe Dibarta. We'll do what you said. Mefarshim actually ask, wouldn't it have been proper for them to say, Kein Naase Keshe Dibarta? What's the Lashon, Kein Tasa Keshe Dibarta? Says, so two pshatim. One pshat is that we know that the Malachim really couldn't eat. So in this dialogue between Avram and them, only he, Avram, would be able to fulfill his side of the deal. They didn't fulfill their side of the deal. They didn't eat. Kein Tasa, you're going to do your side. We're not going to do our side because we can't eat. One pshat they saw. Another pshat is, as the Gemara is going to teach us in a moment, Avram Avinu, when he invited them, actually only told them he's going to give them a minimal meal. And then Tzadikim, Omer Ma'at, Vaisim, Harvey, we're going to learn, they say a little, but they do a lot. So they were telling Avram Avinu, Kein Tasa Kshadibarta, if it was up to us, you'd only do what you said you're going to do, but we know you're going to do so much more. Continues the Gemara. Maishnah l'gabei loit. Why by loit? This ksiv yiftza b'moed. That he invited them in. They first refused until he had to ask them many times. Amar Rabbi Loza answers the Gemara. Mekanshim esarvim l'gotten v'eim esarvim l'kotten. By cotton, by not such a great person, you refuse him. By a great person, you don't refuse. Why? So Mefarshim explain, because we always have to look at what is the appropriate way to act. So by a great person, it's more appropriate not to have him have to wait for us. By not such an important person, it shows gaiva if we immediately agree, and therefore Mesarvim L'Kotten Bei Mesarvim L'Gotel. Mefarshim go on to say that's what a halacha is, that if somebody is asked to be the Baal Tefila, unless he's the Baal Tefila Kavua, he's the steady Chazan, when he's asked to go up to the Amid, he should first refuse and then afterwards agree. The Mefarshim furthermore ask that the Gemara quotes two psukim in sequence. First the Pasuk says that they agree to what Avram Avinu asked, and then the Pasuk says they didn't agree to what Loit asked. But yet the Gemara says Mesarvim L'Kotten first. It should have said in the sequence that we learned, A Mesarvim L'Gadol or Mesarvim L'Kotten. So the Farshim answer very nicely. They say the fact that they agreed to what Avram Avinu asked them to do doesn't really show us that they agreed or didn't agree. Maybe the Torah doesn't go into the details of what happened. But once we see the Pasuk, that they refused. So when they refused, the Torah mentions that they refused. So the fact that the Torah doesn't say that they refused by Avram is a raya that they didn't refuse. So the only reason we know that Mesarvim L'Gadol is because we have already a pasuk that proves that Mesarvim L'Kotten. Ksif, continues the Gemara, the pasuk says, Ve'echopas Lechem. We took Avram Avinu said, as we said before, I'll give you a little bread. The ksiv, but what the pasuk says is that actually Valabaka rots Avram ran and brought tongues, slaughtered three animals for three people. Amar Rebbe Elazar, Mikan, Shetzdikim, Omer Ma'at, Vaisim Harbe. They say they're not going to do much, but they do much more. Rishayim, Omer Harbe, Vafilu Ma'at, and Moisim. They say they're going to do a lot, and they don't even do a little. Where do we find this? Menolon, Me'efron, Mikarik Siv, Eretz Arba Mei Shekel Kesef. The Pasuk says that first Ephron said, I don't want any money for the Maris Machpelah. And then he said, just give me 400 shekel. L'Ksav Ksiv, V'yishkel as Avram El Ephron, V'yishkel Avram El Ephron as a Kesef, Shadiva Be'ezne Chois, Arba Mei Shekel Kesef, Oivel Seicher, V'leshokmenei El Kantri. He took the good coins. Dikaduchti, the kari le dikla, we know we said many times, in those days the coins were valued at the each coin had a different value. These were the best coins, Kentira. So Ephron at the beginning said he'll do it for nothing. At the end he took a very handsome price. The Farshim say, what does the Pasuk say? Oiv l'saicher? Shouldn't the Pasuk say Oivrim l'saicher? To teach us that every coin was Oiv l'saicher. He checked every coin to see its value. So Al Gemara teaches us, B'kan sh'tzadikim oirim ma'at, v'aisim harbe. Why? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat that I saw is that tzaddikim are very concerned that they should only say the truth. And therefore, the tzaddik is concerned if he's going to say something and then afterwards he won't be able to fulfill what he said. It'll turn out that he said something which is not true. So that's why Ayrim Ma'at, they only say a little and therefore they'll be safe from having said anything untrue. Another pshat that I saw is that there's a famous medrash. The Medrash says that David HaMelech every day would say, Lebeis Ploni Ani Hoylich, Lediri Ploni Ani Hoylich. He would say, I'm going to different places. Ragli Melicha, so I see Lebeis HaMedrash. And I ended up in the Beis HaMedrash. So the Farshim asked, what was David HaMelech saying? He's going to these types of places? Is that what David HaMelech did? So the Farshim explained that David HaMelech knew that if he's going to say that he's doing great things, the Malachim, the Yetzer Hara, will start, the Yitzhahara, the Satan, will do everything in their ability to detract him from doing what he's supposed to do. So what did David HaMelech do? He said, I'm doing nothing. He said, I'm wasting my time. Oh, you're wasting your time? So we have no problem with you. And that was the way, by saying that he didn't really wasn't intending to do anything significant, the Yitzhahara did not prevent him to do great things. Another pshat, the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha is that a tzaddik, as much as he does, as much as he learns and as much as he does mitzvahs, considers it that he hasn't done anything. They say about themselves, ma'at, that all we did was very little. When indeed, oisim harbe, they really did a lot of Torah mitzvahs. Rishoim are just the opposite. Oimrim harbe, they say about themselves, do you know what we did? How great we are? But indeed, Oysamat, they really did nothing. Or very little. One more final pshat is that we know the Gemara says, Dvarim hayoytsim min alev, nechnosim min alev. If somebody is sincere about what he says, the other party hears. Tzadikim, Oymrimat, they don't have to say a lot. But whatever they say, they really mean. And that's why if Oysam Harbe, it has hashpah on others. Rishayim, since they're not sincere about what they say, so even if Oimrim Harbe, Oysamat, it has very little influence. Continues the Gemara. Ksiv Kemach, it says that he offered them Kemach, which is inferior flour, the Ksiv Silas. And it says that they made good flour. So what was it? What flour did they offer them? Amar Yitzchak, Mekansh Ishit Sora Beinah Ba'aruchim Yoysam and Ish. That a woman is stingy, isn't generous. And that's why so Posh Pshat in the Gemara is that why did Avram have to specifically, well, I will say it this way, Avram said Kemach, and Sarah had to ask, and then he felt that Sarah is going to use the inferior type of Kemach, and that's why he had to say Silas. That's Posh Pshat in the Gemara to say, use the good flour. That's Posh Pshat in the Gemara, because women aren't typically generous. Very hard Gemara to understand. We're talking about Sari mainly. So there's a beautiful vart. There's a beautiful vart from the Baal Shem. The Baal Shem says pshat like this. He says it with a story. He says, the lion was once talking to his children. It said, you're lions and you have nothing to fear. Because people fear us, we don't have to fear people. Then the lions went to a palace and they saw a picture of the famous Parsha Navi, how Shimshon was ripping a lion like you would rip a goat. So they come back to their parent and they say, what are you talking about? We see that Shimshon was able to rip a lion. So the parent answered them, you see I'm right. If it was no big deal to rip a lion by a human being, so why would somebody draw a picture of that and hang it up? It must have been something extraordinary that never happens. So that's proof that indeed lions typically have nobody to fear. Says the Baal Shem, that's Pshat in the Gemara. If the Pasuk has to tell us that Sarah brought Silas, that means it was strictly Sarah. the great Sari Menu, she brought the high quality flour. Everybody else would have brought cheaper flour. That's the way the Baal Shem learns the Gemara. Others say that sometimes going and being generous actually is not appropriate. And this is such an example. And they all say the same pshat. One pshat is that if she's going to use Silas, so then the guest will be uncomfortable that the host is spending so much money on their behalf, and the host will also be uncomfortable that these guests cost them so much money. So it's better to use kemach, even though it's not the same quality, but what's going to happen is, at least the guest won't be uncomfortable and the host won't be uncomfortable. And the fact that Sarah used Silas actually was something that wasn't appropriate because it made the guest feel uncomfortable. Along the same lines, two similar pshatim, we're going to learn in a moment that this bread became tameh when Sarah became a nida. Bread made out of flour which has come in contact with water can become tameh. Kemach never comes in contact with water. So had she used kemach, they could have eaten the bread. Along the same line, she saw, as we know and we'll discuss, they look like Arabs. And Arabs aren't accustomed to high-quality food. By giving them the high-quality food, she knew they wouldn't be able to absorb it. But Pash Pshan the Gemara is that she gave fine flour, typically women don't. And in fact, the Pais can discuss what is the appropriate thing for somebody who invites guests to do. It may indeed not necessarily be appropriate to buy more than one's ability. Continues the Gemara. Ksiv, Lushi Vasi Ugois. It says that Avram Avinu told her to bake bread. Ksiv, Ika Chalav Ben Abokar. Vila Lachem Lais L'Kamayu. She didn't bring any bread. Omar Fry, where's the bread? He told her to bake bread, and where's the bread? Avram Avinu oichel chulim b'tahara haya. Avram Avinu ate chulim b'tahara. V'sari meinu oisa yoyim peres anida. That day she became anida, and she made the bread tamei, and that's why he couldn't serve it. So Mepharshim asked, as we just said, they were Arabs. Are Arabs makbid to eat chulim b'tahara? So Mepharshim answer a very important lesson. Rabbeinu B'chai is a Rishon. He says this, that if I invite a guest to my home, something that I myself wouldn't eat, I shouldn't serve to the guest. And therefore, since Avram Avinu wouldn't eat this bread, he didn't serve it to the malachim. Another pshat is, as we're going to discuss, as we know, that this event took place on the first day of Pesach. And because Sarah became tamei, so she didn't work with the dough. The dough, if you don't work with it all the time, we know it becomes chametz. So Avram had to throw out the dough and couldn't even serve it to them. Along the same lines, we know, we discussed, the Gemara Masechet Bei discusses how on Yontif, even though we're allowed to cook on Yontif, we're not allowed to cook on behalf of Goyim. So if Avram Avinu was allowed to eat the bread, they would have baked the bread for Avram, and if there was bread left over, the Arabs could eat it. But now that Avram Avinu wouldn't eat the bread, so to bake the bread specifically for Arabs, for Avayim, is not permitted, based on Ephraim's Pshat. Continues the Gemara. V'yomer Elov, Aya Sari Shtacha, where's Sari your wife? V'yomer Lahine Ba'oil, she's in the oil. V'idea Shesara Imenu Tznuah Hesha. The point here was to teach us that Sara, they wanted to show Avram Avinu how Sara was a Tznuah. Amar Yudam Arav, V'tamer Av Yitzchak, Yoidim Hayu Malach Hesher Shesara Imenu Ba'oil Hesha. They knew that she's in the oil. How did they know? So Mepharshim explained, because we know that there was an onon, there was a special onon above the oil of Sarah. So they knew that Sarah was the oil, a Maiba oil, so why did they have to mention it? In order that they should make her beloved to her husband. As Mepharshim explained, the Padish Yosef says this Pshat. We just learned a moment ago that women are typically Sarah in their Ba'orkim. They're not generous. Why are they not generous? Because they want to spend the money on themselves. Says the Paradis Yosef, what were the teaching of Avram Avinu? Your wife is not like the other women. Your wife prefers to be in the oil, cooking and baking and preparing for the guest, rather than going out to shop. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanin Amar, Kedei L'Shagaloi Koish Shal Brocha. They needed to know because they wanted to send her the Kaishal Bracha from Birkas HaMazon. So Mefarshim asked, we just said they didn't eat bread. So where was the Kaishal Bracha? So I saw two truths. One teretz is that before Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael, they said Birkas HaMazon as soon as they ate a meal, even if they didn't have bread. It's one pshat. Another pshat is, we just said a moment ago, that this story took place on Pesach. The Kaishal Bracha they were sending was the Kais of the Dalet Kaisis of Kiddush that they made from the Dalet Kaisis. Avram Avinu's Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, he drank Dalet Kaisis. Another question, another point that the Pais can make on this Gemara. This must have taken place at night. It must have been at night. They stayed. They stayed for the Seder. Another pshat that I saw is that Halach Lamaisa, is that the Pais can say from here we see how important it is to send Kaishal Bracha to one's wife, even when she's a nida. Says the Gemara. Tana Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Lama Nakra Ayoy. If we look at the Pasuk Elov in the Torah, there are dots on top of the letters Ayel of Yud Vav. Lama Nakra Ayoy Shev Elov. Limdecha Darach Heretz. Shiyishal Odom Bechsan Yishaloy. A person should ask about the hostess. Vama Rav. Vama Shmuel, I'm sorry. Ein Sham Vishal Mishaklal. Aydei Baalashal. And Machlekes Rashi and Taisvis, what is Shalom B'Shalom Isha? Rashi says, Man Hebrew. Rashi says, Mash Shalom HaGeveret. You have to ask, how is your wife? That's how Rashi explains. Taisvis says that that's not appropriate. Taisvis says just to ask, where is your wife? But to ask about her welfare, that's certainly inappropriate. The Pais can say, certainly through a third outside party, not through the husband. Whatever you're still in, Rashi's pshat, Tosu pshat, it's inappropriate. But Aruch HaShulchan says that nowadays, if you see a woman in the street, you're allowed to say good morning to her, because that's the normal greeting, how we when we see each other, and that's not considered usur. Says the Gemara. Sarah Meinu said, Achre Beloisi Haisle Edna, that after I became old, I had my period. I got back my period. Omrav Chizda, what she said was, Achash Nizbala Abasa, after the Basar got old, Rabak Matan, and I had a lot of wrinkles, Nispash, Nisadar Ambasar, I got rejuvenated, Nispasha Hakamotim, Vachaza Yefle Ksiv, Mekaimai. She says, I came back to my youth. Ksiv, it says that Sarah said, Vadoini Zokin, that she said that my husband is old, Vksiv Anizokanti. And she says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu repeated what she said, he said that, sorry, said that I'm old. The way Moisav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kirkamra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not repeat Tavram exactly as she said. Why? Kirkamra, yeah, exactly as she said. Famous Gemara, Tana de Beis Shmuel, God will Shalom, to keep Shalom bias is so important, Shafir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shina B'Shanema. Because the Pasuk says, V'Tetzchak Tzar B'Kirboi, and she said, B'Kirboi, and she said, Vadoini Zakin, she said, my husband is old, Viksib, but when HaKadosh Baruch Hu repeated to Avram what Sarah said, he said, V'yom HaShem Avram, V'nizokanti, that I'm old, not that he's old. So Chofetz Chaim asks, if we look at the parasha what Sarah said, she did say she's old. She said that she's old, and she said that her husband is old. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu repeated what she said, that she is old, that was indeed what she said. Why is it considered that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mishana? Says the Chofetz Chaim and Mori de Gevart. A half a truth is a lie. She said that I'm old and my husband's old. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu repeated what she said, she only repeated half of what she said. The part about herself, not about her husband. That's a half a truth. And half a truth is considered a lie. Continues the Gemara. V'tayma mimil lavram hinika Bonim Sarah. So the Pasuk says that Sarah nursed many children. Ask the Gemara, Kama Bonim Hignika Sarah. Sarah nursed one child, Yitzchak. What does it say she nursed many children? Amr Belevi, Aitza Yoim Shagoma Avram is Yitzchak Benoi. When Avram Avinu was, when Sarah was finishing to nurse her son, some say it was by the Bar Mitzvah, Asa Su the Gedoyla. Pasuk Pshat is when she finished nursing. Asa Su Gedoyla, he made a big banquet. Hayakala Umas Miranan and Vaimrim. Everybody was saying, Rizim Zoknim Vazakena, Avram was 100 years old, Sarah was 90 years old, they couldn't have had children, it must have been, Shehaviyu Asufi Manashok, they found a child in the street, Vayner Benenuhu, and they're saying, this is our son, Vayner Benenuhu, they're ready to continue this charade by making this large banquet, Lahamid Avraham, that everybody should think this is their child. Ma'as Avraham Avinu. So what did Avraham Avinu do? Halach Vazimen Kol Gedolei Ador. So he invited everybody, all the leaders of the nations. The Sori Meimu Zimnes Mishasayim Soro invited their wives. The Kol Achas Ve'achas Evi B'noima. All of these women brought along their children, Omeniksa, and their nursing, the person who nursed these children on their behalf. They didn't bring them. And Sarah, there was a tremendous ness. Her breast opened up like fountains. And she was able to nurse all of them. So obviously, she actually had children. They were still saying, indeed, we have proof that Sarah was 90 years old, had a child. Avram, b'mei shonim yoilid, that Avram Avinu, who was already 100 years old, is he the father? So the Brisker Rav asks, and that a 90-year-old woman should have a child is not a nes? They were saying that this wasn't their child, there was no nes here. Once it was proven, beyond any doubt, that Sarah Menu had, was the mother, isn't that enough of a proof of the nes? What did they have to, why are they still complaining? Says the Brisker Rav, their problem wasn't Sarah. Their problem was Avram Avinu. Because Avram Avinu, we know, was the one that Hikas Spiroi. He was the one that came to recognition and brought that recognition to the whole world that there's a Kodesh Baruch in the world. They couldn't let Avram Avinu be proven that a nace happened to him. Because that would be the beginning of their downfall when they didn't want to believe in God. Miyad. Netbach classed upon him Sheyitzchak. The Nidmal Avram. Yitzchak looked like exactly like Avram. Pasuk Kulam V'Amru, Avram Hoyles Yitzchak, they couldn't say anymore. Says the Gemara, Al Avram Lo Hoyes Zikna. Yeah, there's a pshat to that, I don't have time for it. Al Avram Lo Hoyes Zikna. Until Avram, there were no old people. What does it mean there was no old people? Of course there were old people. What it means is that there was no difference physically between a young person and an old person. When you saw an old person, when you saw a person, you couldn't tell there's an older person or younger person. So if somebody wanted to speak to Avram, he would get mixed up with Yitzchak. As the Mefarshim explained, we just learned a moment ago that Yitzchak looked like Avram. So if two people don't look the same, so there's no concern. So I know if I want to talk to you, I talk to you. If I want to talk to him, I talk to him. But Yitzchak and Avram looked identical, as the Gemara just said. So what's the only way to be able to tell the difference between them? Is that Avram was much older than Yitzchak. But if in those days an old person didn't look old, so how would I know who's Avram, who's Yitzchak? Therefore, us Avram, boy, Rachni, Vavazikna. Shnema Avram Zokim Baba Yomim. So why was Avram so interested in people looking old? So Mefarshim explained, because there's a value in age. They're the people to ask how to behave. So Avram Avinu didn't want it for future generations to know, the people should know who's the older person, that he's the person I should look for guidance to. Continues the Gemara. Ad Yaakov lo yavu chulsha. Before Yaakov Avinu, there was no sickness. Mefarshim again explained, certainly there was sickness. We find in the Torah, people getting sick. Mefarshim say a number of pshatim. One pshat is, then tell Yaakov Avinu, there was no such thing as a person getting sick and dying. Sickness and death weren't connected to each other. A person died, the Medrash says, he would sneeze, he could be standing in the middle of the street, and he could sneeze and die. In fact, that's the basis why when somebody sneezes, we say asusu, because when somebody sneezed in the beginning, that was death. Another pshat is, there was no such thing as somebody getting sick naturally, like people never get sick. But somebody, if somebody was stabbed, certainly he had a wound. Or, as we learned earlier, the concept of ayin hara was there from the beginning. Us, Yaakov, boy, Rachma Vavakosha. Yaakov asked that there should be a concept of being sick. Why? Because Yaakov even realized how important it is for a person to give guidance to his children before he leaves the world. So if a person gets sick, so he knows that his end is coming, and it's the time for him to tell his children what he expects of them. And that's why the Mefarshim say, since we see, the Chassam Sofer speaks about this a lot, since we see how important it is for parents to give guidance to the children, how important it is for a parent to write a will, I'm not talking about the financial element of the will, but to write in the will what he expects of his children, In fact, the Chasam Sofer himself says that he, when he was 50 years old, and he was much older than his wife, was looking, was doing Bedikas Chametz, and he saw that his wife had already written a Tzavah. So he said, my wife is smarter than I am. She wrote a Tzavah even before I did. Says the Gemara, Shinema, how do we know that there was no illness until Yaakov? V'yamu Yosef, hinei avicha choyla. Hinei means something new. Continues the Gemara, Adas isha la'avada ispach. There was nobody got sick and then got better. Asa l'isha, boy rachm v'ispach. We learned a new thing, Yadavin, you could get Baruch Hashem better. Shinema, v'lisha choya as choya shem ispo. There was a, the pasuk speaks about Elisha getting sick, that he died from that sickness. Mechlal the chola chola achrita, that he got better from. Tana rabbanan, in fact, the Braisa says shloisha chaloim chola Elisha. Elisha got sick three times. Achash adaf chalagesi. We know that Elisha healed Naaman, and Naaman wanted to give Elisha a reward. Elisha refused, but then Gehazi, who was Elisha's assistant, said, "You know what? Give it to me." And when Elisha found out, he was upset at Gehazi, and he was a little too strong. There were young people who started up with him, and he sent beers after them. And again, it was a little too harsh of a reaction. So we learned in the Mishnah that the Mishnah says where there was the Tana who hired the workers, and his father said, and he promised them that he's going to give them meals. And his father said, you can never fulfill your requirement. Before they begin working, tell them immediately that I only have to give you the minimum. So the Gemara's question is, pass kidneys to none. What's the proper gris in the Mishnah? Doesn't mean pass kidneys, that it's enough to give them bread made out of beans, which is very inferior, or pass the kidneys to none. Real bread, and with it, beans. The right way to learn is pas v'kitnius, that you have to give them bread and beans, just like kimurja deliveries. Kimurja deliveries means just like a boat, a sail ship, needs a mast, needs the sails, although you have no ship. So too, the minimum meal is bread and beans. You don't have to say anything, we have to follow the Minhag Medina. Ask the Gemara, Hakla Suyamei, what does the Mishnah mean? The Mishnah keeps on referring to that Minhag Medina. Why does Shimon have to repeat this? Answers the Gemara, Suy HaDatanya. Asarcha Zapoyal, if somebody hires a worker, and he doesn't expressly say at what rate he will be paying him, he says, V'ech V'shnaim V'nei'ir, I'm going to pay you like some of the people in the city. So the Tanakama learns, the Rabbi Shua, the Tanakama learns, Nas the Kapach Shabashir is the Rabbi Shua. You give him the minimum wage anyone earns for this job. Machlaikas Rashi and other Rishonim how to learn Mishamna B'nayim. Rashi learns Mishamna B'nayim is, let's say somebody's making $8 an hour and somebody else is making $5 an hour and somebody else is making $4 an hour. So we give the $5 the person in the middle. Other Rishonim learn Mishamna B'nayim is like this. As we just said the example, we have somebody getting paid 8, somebody else getting paid 5, and somebody else getting paid 4. So those Rishonim say we take the highest paid individual, 8. We take the lowest paid individual, 4. We add it together, which is 12. And then we divide it in 2, which is 6. As we finish the sugya that we followed the Minhag Medina, just one interesting halacha l'maisa shayla I saw. The shayla that comes up is, let's say you have a boy from Eretz Yisrael and a girl from America. And you have a shatchan who's matching them up together. And Baruch Hashem is successful. We have a shidduch. The question now is, who, at what rate of shatchanas do we pay the shatchan? Let's say in America they pay a higher rate than in Eretz Yisrael. So what rate does the shatchan get? So some paiskim say that the Israeli side should pay according to the Israeli rate, and the American side should pay according to the American rate. Other Paiskim actually say just the opposite. A very interesting psak. They say just the opposite. Because the one who was working with the American was trying to convince him on behalf of the Israelis. And the one that was working with the Israeli was trying to convince him on behalf of the American. So therefore, some Paiskim say that the Israeli should pay the American rate and the American should pay the Israeli rate.
But then the Paiskim say, this is extremely relevant, La'aloch L'maisa, is that let's say the Shatchan is neither in Israel nor in America. He's in Europe. But he does all of his work on the phone. So since the Shatchan was in Europe, and he was doing his work in Europe, Hakol Kaminig Medina teaches us that a worker should be paid according to where he's working. So he has to be paid the rate according to where he's living, not according to where his employers live. Says the Mishnah. And as Tosfos gives us introduction to the Mishnah. Till now we've been discussing in our perek situations where, as we just learned, there's a minig hamedina, what workers get. There's a contract between the employer and the employee which obligates them to fulfill the terms of the contract. But there are certain rights the workers have midoraisa. And that's what our Mishnah now begins to teach us. The elu oichlim in a Torah. The following people have a right to get meals midoraisa. Hoysim mechub l'karka. If somebody's working on something that grows from the ground, b'shas gemar melocha, at the time when the produce is being finished, u'betolash min hakarka, or if it's disconnected, atchloi nigmar melachtoi, until it's completely processed, u'bedolash gedulah min haaretz, or anything that grows, all of these people, while they're working with this food, have a right to eat from it. However, the elush ein oichlim, when then do I have at least the right midaraisa? When there's still many things still to do with this produce, after it's finished being processed, or something that isn't grow from the ground, there we don't have a right to eat as we're working with it. Ask the Gemara, non immediately. From where do we know that a worker who's working with something that grows from the ground has a right to eat that product? The ksiv, because the pasuk says, kisorim, kisava b'karim ra'echa, if you're working in your friend's vineyard, v'chata, you have a right to eat from those grapes. Ask the Gemara, ask chan karim. So this pasuk teaches us that you're working with the vineyard, you have a right to eat the grapes. Ask the Gemara, kol mili menolan. How do we know that this then applies to all other things that grow from the ground? Gamina m'karim. We learn from karim. Ask the Gemara, ma karim, says the Gemara, ma karim yuchad. Dovash gedula karka. It's something that grows from the ground. And the pasuk is referring to Shask Malacha Payachabai because it's speaking about collecting the grapes. Af kol dovash gedula karka. Anything that grows from the ground, Shask Mar Malacha Payachabai, the worker may eat from it. Ask the Gemara, how could you bring a raya from Kerem to all other things that grow from the ground? Ma Kerem Shekhai Boilus. Kerem has this unique characteristic that the small grapes have to be left for aniyim. So maybe karam is unique, and you can't learn from there to all other areas in halacha. Ask the gemara gamina mikama. Answer the gemara gamina mikama. We learn from kama, from grain. Ask the gemara and kama gufa menolan. How do we know that kama is that the worker is entitled to eat the grain as he's collecting it? Because the pasuk says, "Kisav b'kerem re'acha, b'kamas re'acha, v'ketafta melilas b'yotcha." Ask the Gemara, "Malakama shekein chayavus b'chala." Kama is unique. Grain can come to chiyav chala. So maybe strictly kama has this din that the worker is allowed to eat. How do we know it applies to everything else? Or am I? Ask the Gemara, who says that this pasuk is referring to kama, mahay dahay kama, kama de chayevus chalihi. Who says we're talking about grain that can be baked into bread with zechi of chala? Dilma kol kama kama rachmana. Maybe the Torah is speaking about any grain, barley or other grains, that there is no chi of chala. So, answer the Gemara, asya kama kama. He learns exer shava. Ksiv hocha kisava b'karm recha. Ksiv hasa mehechel karmish b'kama. Ma hasam kama the mechayev b'chala. That pasuk uses the word kama and it's referring to chala. Af hocha nami kama the mechayev b'chala. It refers to kama grain that could have a chiyev chala. And therefore we come back to our original question. Yes, the Torah says that as a worker is working with kama, he's entitled to eat. But ikala mifrach, kama has a unique characteristic. Malach kama shekein chayev b'chala. So Gemara's question is back to where we started. Maybe kama that's chay b'chala, that's where the din is, that the worker is allowed to eat. But how do we know that it applies to anything else that grows from the ground? Answers the Gemara, kam yuchiyach. We see that the characteristic that it's chay b'chala is not the factor. Because kerem is chayiv, we learned the workers allowed to eat. There is no chiv chala on grapes. So the Gemara, yeah, but kerem has a unique characteristic. Shekain chay ba'olus. So maybe that's what makes it chayiv, that the worker gets to eat. So that says the Gemara, kama techiyach. There is no oilus bekama. The chazadein, as we learned many times in Shas, loy rizek rizek, we have at tzad shava, shekain dova shigdule karka. We're referring to items that grow from the ground. Uvashas b'ma malacha, as the worker is working with it, as it's finishing growing, poilachaba. So we will learn from here, af kol dova shigdule karka, anything that grows from the ground, b'shas b'ma malacha, poilachaba, the worker should be allowed to eat from it. Says the Gemara, these two foods, kama and keren, have a unique common denominator. Mala tzara shovish ben, shiken yesh ben tzad mizbeach. There's something that's relevant to the mizbeach. The grapes are used to make wine, which are brought for the nesachim. The kama is used, the flour is used for the karban mincha. And therefore, perhaps only these two food items, that's where there's a din that the worker is allowed to eat. How do we know everywhere else? And the Gemara fills in. Vasin nami. And I'll say, indeed, Zayif, if somebody's working with olives, he's picking olives, we're there too. This Beit Sad Mizbeach, because the olives are used for the menachas to make olive oil. So I'll say olives also have this characteristic that they, for a worker who's cutting olives, should be allowed to eat the olives. But how do we know anything else that grows? It says Gemara, the Zayif, the Ma'at Sad, who us eat. Will we need a matzah, a tzad shava, to teach us that the olive, the worker's allowed to eat? Who goof for karamikri? I have another proof that the worker's allowed to eat from the olive. Because the pasuk calls an olive yard a karam. The ksiv, the yiva megodesh vat kama, vat karam zayis. So if the pasuk that we began the sugya with clearly teaches us that if you're picking from a karam, the worker's allowed to eat, a zayis is a kerem. I don't need a tzad shava. Says the Gemara, that wouldn't work. Because Amra Papa, a kerem of a zayis is not just called kerem. Kerem zayis ikri. It's called zayis with the suffix of zayin. Kerem stama lo ikri. So therefore, indeed, to know that the worker is allowed to eat olives, I know from the tzad shava. But ask the Gemara, mikom makom kasha. We only have proven that grain, grapes, and olives the worker may eat. But how do we know all other food items? Elo amashmul, amakra v'chermish. The pasuk says v'chermish, a sickle, v'rabbis kol bal chermish. Anything that's cut, the worker is allowed to eat. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that that's what we're learning from the word chermish? V'ay chermish m'boile, we need the word chermish to teach us. B'shas chermish achoil. Only when it's at the end, like we learned in the Mishnah, when it's at Gemara Malacha, when it's being cut, that's when the worker is allowed to eat. Shloi b'chesh chemes loy teichel. So we can't use the word chemesh to teach us anything that's cut. Answer the Gemara to teach us that the worker is only allowed to eat at the end. Ha'hu me'av kelicha loy sitei nafka. So we see we're talking about the time that you're putting it into your baskets that you're collecting. Ask the Gemara, teinech the bar chemesh. We've only proven something that's cut with a sickle. The labar chemish, but something that's not cut with a sickle, menolon that the worker is allowed to eat. Elam Rav Yitzchak, amakra, kama, lerabis, kabali kama. Anything that grows. Ask the Gemara, we just learned before, v'amit kama, kama de mechayve b'chala, that only something grain that's chay b'chala, and now you're saying that kama encompasses everything. Answers the Gemara, hani mili mekama de neis chemish. If I had the word kama alone, I'm going to say that the word kama only comes to teach us grain that's chai b'chala. But now that the Torah added the word chemish, hashta da'osi chemish, es rabbi called about chemish, the Torah adds anything that's cut with a sickle, v'avgav d'loim chai b'chala, even if it's something that won't come to chiv chala. Kama. So now, if I have the word chemish, kama, why does the Torah have to add the word kama at all, come alomali, the rabbis call bali come. Ask the Gemara, so now how do we know that anything that grows from the ground, the workers allowed to eat? I learned it from a combination of kama and chermish. So ask the Gemara, for has to nafgulam a chermish for kama, from a combination of these two words, ask the Merkisov of Kamaracha, lomali, what does that pasuk come to teach us? Answers the Gemara, Amarava lo chaysov. It comes to teach us other halachas regarding what the workers' right to eat is. Kiritanya, kisova, nemekan bia, v'nemelahalon v'sova lo v'shemesh, ma'alahalon v'poyalakos medaber. It's talking about a day laborer, afkan v'poyalakos medaber. The way most Rishonim explain, it's coming to exclude a kablan, a person who's paid by the job, not by the day. Bekerim Re'echa, V'loi Bekerim Kuti. So it's Machlokes Rishonim how to learn V'loi Bekerim Kuti. The way most Rishonim learn, that by a Kuti, the din is that this din of eating doesn't apply. Ask the Gemara, that's how Rashi learns. Hanich Lamanda Oma Gezel Kuti Asur, that the pasuk that we know usually you're not allowed to take from a guy. So I need a pasuk to teach us, otherwise I would think anyway you're allowed to tell him. Take. Elamanda maguzu kuti mutter, hashtag zeila mutter. You're allowed to steal poil meboya. Answers the Gemara, mukum lebe camera echo lo shel hektish. Just not anybody should have the wrong idea. When it says that gezel goy kuti is mutter, it doesn't mean that you're allowed to steal from a guy. Chas v'shalom. What it means is that if a guy makes a mistake in a financial transaction and there's no issue of chilul Hashem, that's mutter. But stealing is also asur. So pasuk says, "V'kam re'echa v'loy shal hagdish v'chalto v'loy meitzitz anovim." Not if you suck grapes. And there's machlokes v'shoinim. Why, when you suck grapes, is it not considered? Why is a worker not allowed to suck grapes? Very relevant la'locha. Some v'shoinim learn. Because if you're only going to suck the grapes, you're going to eat more grapes. If you eat the whole grape, you'll be fuller sooner than if you're just sucking the grapes. And even though we're worried about the workers' rights, but it has to be not abused. That's one pshat. Another pshat is the Torah gives the worker right to eat, not to drink. And sucking is not considered eating. Sucking out the juice from a fruit is not considered eating. It's considered drinking. The mainafkamina. A very important shaila. Let's say you take a fruit, an orange or a grape, and you suck out the juice. Is it considered that you ate the grape? You ate the orange, that you have to make a bari pre-eats? Or is it considered like you drank juice? Especially an orange, we know an orange juice you make a shahakal. What is the halacha? Most poskim say that if you suck a fruit without eating any of the fruit itself, you only make a shahakal. Anovim, v'loy anovim v'dova achra. As we're going to learn, that if you add something to the fruit to make it more tasty and you're going to eat more, that's osur. Kenafsha, kenafish abalbayis, kenafish apoyal. Ma nafshcha oichel, af nafshe shal oichel upotar. Which means as follows. Since at this point, the produce, the fruit, or whatever, hasn't been completely processed, so if you eat it, it's considered an achilas arai. And the halacha is that if you're allowed to eat achilas arai for produce without taking off the trumas and maestras. So too, not only is the owner not obligated if he eats the fruit at this point to take off trumas and maestras, the same then applies to the workers. Savacha, v'loy achila gasa. It has to be a normal type of eating. V'kel yuchal oisitin, b'shor sh'at nois l'kel shabal bayis at oichel. As you're working with the produce, that's when you're allowed to eat from it. However, b'shor sh'at nois l'kel shabal bayis, if you're not actually working with the produce, yat oichel, you have no right to eat it.